This is Housebound. I'm Chris.
I'm Holly.
I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Greg.
And you're invited.
Welcome to Housebound, a podcast we made because we needed company. In it, we talk about things that are on our minds, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about guilty pleasure, TV, and movies. Everyone ready?
Yep.
Yep. Here we go. Okay. Okay.
I'm not ready to be this vulnerable on the internet.
This vulnerable. That's interesting, actually, because I was going to say, what makes something a guilty pleasure television or movie show? Television or movie show?
It's got to be something that, like, you know, is not 100% accepted within your circles, right?
I'd guess so. I thought maybe it was something that, like, just wasn't up to par to the regular TV that you watch. Like, could you be. Know that it's kind of crappy, but you like it anyway.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, yeah, like a bag of chips that are like, this isn't great for me, but this is really good. But I need this right now.
I'm gonna stuff my face.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that TV shows that are guilty pleasures are the same things as cheat days for people that are working out or trying to eat a certain way. Mm. So it's not something that's illegal to do. It's just something that seems illegal. You know what I mean?
It just seems like it's not great for you.
Yeah. Yeah, or as a friend of ours would say, dirty pleasure.
That means something different.
That means something different, I'm pretty sure. I haven't looked it up. I think we can all assume. And he was very mistaken. He meant guilty pleasure, but he mixes words up in his mind sometimes. And so that was funny because he said, my teen wolf is my dirty pleasure. And we were like, excuse me? What did he say?
Yeah, try again. Do you guys have any shows or movies that you would consider guilty pleasures or that maybe other people would consider guilty pleasures because you obviously like to watch them?
Yes, I do.
Do tell, Christopher.
I watched the entire series of How to Get Away with Murder. It was compelling at times, but it was just a drama by the end. But I couldn't stop watching it because then I wouldn't know the whole story, right? Like, you can't just drop it, otherwise you don't know how it ends. You have to keep watching it. So I watched the whole thing. And I also tried to watch Scandal. That was so, like, if you know me and the kinds of shows that I watch, and then these two shows are suddenly inserted into that.
It doesn't make sense. It
library
does not compute.
Of choices. No. It doesn't even compute with me. I know watching it that I just, like, why am I watching this? I only got, like, half a dozen episodes into Scandal. I couldn't handle it.
Still half a dozen more than we thought you would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, maybe it gets interesting. I don't know. And yeah, so I think those are my television show examples. For the most part, I stay within my genres. So mm-hmm.
I also have Scandal on my list. But the funny thing about Scandal is I watched it when I was in university and I really enjoyed it. But Scandal does some interesting things if you continue on through the series. They switch things up in really creative and cool ways.
Don't care.
The first few series are like, yeah. The first
one Shonda Rhimes show is enough for me.
She has a whole freaking empire.
She is on my list as well.
Yeah. Anyways, so I watched Scandal when I was in university. But the funny thing is, I made it up until, like, the last 4 episodes, and then I stopped. And so I've never officially finished it.
Yeah.
What? Like, 3.5 episodes left?
That's ridiculous.
Does the show actually end? I thought it was still going.
It does apparently have an ending. I do not know how it ends.
Sometime in the future, we should all just get together.
Finish Scandal.
And we'll make some popcorn. We'll step into the last 4 episodes, totally out of context.
No.
And watch it with Ashlyn so that she actually finishes the series.
Yeah.
We'll make a night out of it. Chip dip, guacamole, whatever.
I think the part about Scandal that makes it a guilty pleasure, though, is some of it's really good and some of it's really interesting. But the main character, Olivia Pope, she has 2 men in her life who neither of them are particularly good for her. And so throughout all the seasons, she just flip-flops between one and the other. She's always with one of these two guys, and they're not particularly fantastic men. So I think that's what makes it a guilty pleasure, is just that, like, so much of it is about her love life, which is an absolute mess. No idea how they're going to wrap up this season, but I'll see eventually, I guess, when you all come over.
Well, hopefully she chooses neither of them if they're both terrible. She chooses.
Yeah, they're both pretty bad.
power in herself or something.
Yeah.
She's not that great either, so.
I guess by definition, a guilty pleasure show or movie has to be something that you feel guilty about because you are pleased to watch it. So you actually get some enjoyment out of it. Mm-hmm. So for me to say that Scandal was a guilty pleasure, I guess doesn't really make that much sense. It's more like a shameful confession, because I dipped my toes and then wanted none of it.
So that was a freebie, guys. That was a freebie.
Yeah.
So, but there was a crossover episode of How to Get Away with Murder and Scandal. So that's very interesting. If you watch a show that both shows where they push like a very like powerful, influential woman, and then you have them in the same episode, just like one upping each other, like, I'm more badass than you. No, I am. No, I am. And it's like, wow, that was starting to rethink my life at that point, but I finished the series. So
I feel like that's just Batman versus Superman, but with ladies.
Yeah, maybe. And no capes, unless you count Olivia's little shawl thing.
Yeah, anyone remember Civil War?
Which Fast and Furious was it where neither Vin Diesel nor Dwayne Johnson were allowed to be, like, they're fighting each other, but in their contracts, neither of them are allowed to be, like, lose a fight or whatever is in their contracts.
Correct.
And so it's literally just, like, one-upping each other, but nobody got hurt.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So, anyways.
That's funny. My Shonda Rhimes guilty pleasure is Grey's Anatomy, which I loved when I was in university, because I started watching it with my roommates when I went to the U of R. And then I just kind of continued without them because I left the U of R and went to the U of S. So I originally liked it for the medical stuff. But of course you get sucked in, right? Like,
oh yeah,
you're just gonna. But it kept going and going and going. And now I finally stopped watching it because my favorite character that had been there from the beginning, which I haven't even seen the beginning of this show. Like, I came in on like season 6 or something like that and watched till it is now, season 13. And then like was like, okay, I'm done. That's enough. But I would still watch it.
So it started out not as a guilty pleasure. It started out as just like a drama that you watched and whatever. And then it became a guilty pleasure over time.
Well, because the people around me, and also, it depends on the show. Okay. It depends on the episode, like, arc that's happening in that show at the time, I think, because sometimes they can be really interesting and, like, medical-based and even accurate sometimes, but I am not going to claim that it is accurate all the time because that is not true. But
for more on this, see our episode about accuracy in media regarding STEM.
Yeah, but then at other times, it is absolutely a guilty pleasure because all it is just like, who should this person be with? Oh no, this person slept with this person. And how many times can you sleep with each other at the hospital when you're on one shift? Like, that's just not possible. Like, yeah. Anyways, so definitely that's one of them. That one I am less guilty about than this next one, though, which... which I absolutely love, but it's Vampire Diaries.
Okay. No way.
Yeah, I love what? That show.
Chris.
It's so bad. And I know it, but I love it. Yeah. Anyways, let's move on now.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, you got any guilty?
Who are the main actors in Vampire Diaries? I'm trying to picture that one. There's so many like similar vampire ones in my head.
The actors' names?
She's not going to know their names.
Oh, I don't know their names. when I see them in other stuff, I point them out and I go, Chris, that's Damon
from Vampire Diaries.
Was one of them in Lost, like at the beginning, like the rich brother yes. and sister?
The rich brother and sister.
The brother?
The boy.
Yes.
The boy the is brother. One of the okay. actors. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And he's my
the
favorite.
Vampire Diaries is the show that has that spin-off prequel, right?
I don't know. What are you talking
which
about?
Which is the vampire show that has like the one that's called like the something and it's just the last name of like the ancients from that
oh,
show?
Oh, yeah, maybe that's or is from that, Vampire Diaries.
Is that Vampire Diaries or Could is be. That? And we only, okay, I only know this because this same friend who really likes Teen Wolf, it's weird. His whole repertoire of shows are basically just all guilty pleasures. But for him, they're just his the shows that he watches. We just think of them as guilty pleasure shows. But he just watches. That's all he watches. So it's really...
it's not all he watches. But yes, a lot of it.
Yeah. It's a majority. It's very entertaining.
Yeah. I guess when it comes to like sort of movies and TV, there is one franchise that I will without hesitance support go watch if they do like a TV show of, and that's the Lego franchise.
Oh,
I love the Lego movie 1 and 2, both great. Lego Batman, yep, bring it on. I even like have like anything Lego Star Wars, super enjoyed that. So they have some like TV shorts like the Padawan Menace and the Empire Strikes Out or something like that. And
dear.
Yeah. And ooh, Droid yeah. Tales. That was a retelling of all 6 of the original episodes of Star Wars from the droid's perspective. Very good. So
was
yeah.
it really?
Yeah, actually, it wasn't too bad. It was pretty good. So
like even stuff like the Freemaker Chronicles.
Freemaker Chronicles, because that's like a TV show. That's actually really good. Where I've kind of drawn the line, I bought the first few of them, but they've made a bunch of Lego DC kind of short movie things for TV. So like
yeah, they 60 made a
minutes.
Lot.
They've made a lot of them. I haven't been able to keep up. And also the quality of them isn't like, I don't think as good, or maybe I'm just not into the DC world enough to get their little references that they make. So I don't find them as funny, but yeah, love the Lego stuff ever since like buying the like Lego Star Wars on the GameCube episode, you know, 1 to 3. Oh, so good. And then we had it also on Game Boy Advance as well. So that was fun. Yeah, love the Lego franchise. I will continue to support them. So yes, I even bought Lego Ninjago movie, which was not as great of a movie, but I have it on Blu-ray DVD. So if you guys ever want to watch it, I own it.
Good. Thanks.
Yeah. And I didn't force, but it was my birthday and I share it with
this is well, officer, I forced. No, I don't want to say forced. It was my birthday, but hear me out.
So I got to choose and so I made everyone
watch like the Lego Batman short movie that was done from just compiling a bunch of the animated segments, cutscenes of the Lego Batman
the
DC
game.
Movie. Yeah. Or yeah. sorry, DC video game. And they did add some extra stuff to help smooth it over. But yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't a great 60 minutes. Nobody was really laughing. But I was like, you know, I am.
It's my birthday.
I'm 19 years old, and I'm allowed to do this. Y'all are gonna watch this, so
oh, it's my birthright for you to watch this terrible compilation movie.
You know, your birthday is also Mark's.
You know
need
what?
To cooperate.
I did not consult him. I did not say, "Hey, Mark, are you okay with this?" I just said, "We're doing this," and he was like, "All right." So
oh, you should just boss him around.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So anyways, that's 60 minutes that I can't get back. And also that I own now for forever. So there we go.
Oh my goodness. That's so funny.
Yeah. So anyways, that's probably one of the main guilty pleasures in terms of like, I don't know, like I don't really have a ton. I think that's just my main one would be that whole series and having people groan when I say, hey, a new Lego movie's coming out. Great. Everything is awesome. So
I don't think I have any movies. I've been trying to think about it as we've been talking. And
a franchise that you know is just actually kind of terrible, but you like it anyway.
Oh, I
like,
have
for instance, Fast and Furious.
Well,
it's kind of terrible, and we shouldn't like it.
But Fast and Furious is pretty well received, like, critically, like it, like, and culturally.
Unless you talk about the plot or the physics or anything else, like, they're not that
great. I would consider Fast and Furious a guilty pleasure somewhat. Yeah. But yeah.
I guess I'm trying to figure out what actually defines something as a guilty pleasure. And it has to be individually. Like, it can't possibly be as a collective. So if a movie critically is well or poorly received, I don't know necessarily that makes it a guilty pleasure if you like it or not, because it kind of should depend on what the majority of what you consume is. And for me, action movies are well within the realm. Like, I'll give it to you. Fast and Furious movies are not, like, phenomenally accurate, mind-boggling, cause you to think and go out and be better in the world kind of movies. But...
No.
But, and, like, there are some movies that will do that for you. But, but Fast and Furious is not Inception, for example. Inception was, I think we saw it four times. I saw it four times in theaters, which was only a record broken by me watching Avengers seven times in theaters. We can talk about that. Maybe
I thought we saw it eight times, but maybe that was just me.
But Inception was a great movie when I saw it. And it was like the top tier, like top echelon of movies in my mind at that point. But like, not all movies are like that. But I would still kind of slight Fast and Furious into my like action adventure category. And so I don't typically think of that as outside of the normal. But like, you could be, that being said, you could be onto something with the accuracy or the way that the movie is received, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
It might be more that guilty pleasures are things that like you keep returning to despite knowing that you're going to get more of the same thing kind of thing. Like, it's not like it's going to offer you anything new or like radically different, but that it's just kind of like
Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Or
so
I hate to say it, but like the semi and more recent installment, or maybe just the past and more semi recent installments of DC movies. Like, I don't really end up enjoying most of them, but I can't keep kind of going to them and going like, maybe this one will be really good. Like, maybe we'll strike gold with Dark Knight a second time, but probably not, but maybe we will, you know?
I actually really enjoyed the first Suicide Squad movie.
Oh.
And nobody else in the whole world did. It's just me. So they made that movie for me, and I feel really special. But I would watch that movie again, hands down. Yeah. I don't know why.
Congratulations. Devotion to your momentary pleasure has ruined a franchise.
Yeah. What do you guys think actually does keep people watching these kinds of shows that they know are like not that great? Like, what keeps you going back to your guilty pleasure?
The kind of shows like Wipeout and Survivor or
yeah
I think it's that comfort, that it's like comfort food where it's like, oh, this is nice, you know, like, and you get a warm blanket and yeah, get your cup of tea or whatever, and I feel like that's kind of like the feeling of like, you know what you're getting into, and it's just like, or it just brings you,
it's not gonna cause you to think, change your paradigm. Yeah.
Or it just brings you back maybe a bit of nostalgia as well, because it's like, this is what you like grew up watching, or you know, or this is something that has like good memories attached to it or something.
So if it's very superficial, then it takes very little effort to consume or enjoy. Is that what we're saying? And so like a show that we're like, well, there's no Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Like, you don't watch that because you want to be mentally stimulated. You just watch that because there's like nothing else on TV. Or some people specifically go and watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. And like, I could never bring myself to watch something like that because I know what I would be getting into. But it's because it's just, it feels like it's the same copy paste and you don't really have to do much thinking about it. Or, but like, there's drama in it, whether it's real or fake. There's still like a perceived drama in the show. So it's not that you're just watching two people talk for a whole episode, but it's bad drama. And so like, there's, it's like, okay, it's a show and there's nothing intelligent about it, but every once in a while, there's something dramatic about it, but it's not real drama, but it's like, you know, like, it doesn't make sense as to why you would enjoy something like that. So I think I ask the same question. I'm like, what keeps people actually invested in this? And people are like, I don't know, I just like it. And it's like, do you actually like it though?
I think they actually like it.
Yeah.
Like, what do you find invigorating about it? Like, or what do you find interesting about it? Like, what keeps you going
it's
back?
Like, it's like one of those like gross snacks that you love. Like, frickin' Greg. I love Greg.
Greg's a
so
gross
much.
Snack, and I love him.
Microwave, no, makes microwave grilled cheese. It's not grilled. It's just a microwave cheese.
What? No.
I also
it's disgusting.
It's just
so
wait.
Good.
Yeah. But what I end up doing, though, is I end up toasting. I toast it first, though, just so that it, like,
that.
Grills the
soggy,
side.
Soggy bread. Melted cheese.
Oh, wow. I mean, I have done that as well. So either way, I think it's quick, it's efficient, and it's wonderful. So yeah.
It is wonderful.
High five, Holly.
Thank you.
Chris, Ashlyn, y'all can, I don't know, just enjoy
go
your
home.
Enjoy slaving over a hot stove for your grilled cheese. Yeah.
So like empirically, it's a culinary failure. But Greg likes it. That's what the Lego movies are. My guilty pleasure TV shows, though, are Princess Diaries, Princess Diaries 2, and Ice Princess. I got those three movies as a gift from some really good friends of mine when I was in junior high. And I have watched Princess Diaries, Princess Diaries 2, and Ice Princess almost every time I get sick, because they're like my comfort sick movies if I'm like having a sick day at home. And I know that they're not amazing, but I love the jokes in Princess Diaries and Princess Diaries 2. And I think Ice Princess is really cute. Like, they are what they are.
So these aren't from the same people that gave you Jane Austen stuff.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but I like them.
Yeah. One of the things along with that, that I think that does keep bringing people back to guilty pleasure television shows specifically, is that they tend to give you the tropes that you love over and over and over and over again. So like Vampire Diaries, there's, of course, all of the drama in her love life, but also there's the trope of like, you did something awful to her, I'll kill you for that. And it's not like a great trope, but I love it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want it in my real life, but I love to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's gonna happen. No.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a trope. And you know that it's happening when it's happening.
Oh, that's what the other show is called. It's called The Originals.
Oh, yes. Yes, that
was
is
that part of that
of
series
Diaries.
Or is it part of one of the other Vampire shows?
No, it's off of Vampire Diaries.
Okay, great. Yeah. Glad we could clear that up.
I did think of a TV show. I think as a kid, not a kid, like a teenager or whatever, we watched a lot of Smallville. I feel like that's like a guilty pleasure TV show where it's like,
yeah, it's not that good.
It's not great. Like, it's the same stuff week after week. Yeah. And it's constantly that tension between Clark Kent and, what is it, Lana Lang or something? Mm-hmm. Like, is that her name? Yeah.
Yeah.
And them being super close together, and then all of a sudden something tearing them apart. And then them repairing that again in the next episode. But then by the end of the episode, it's torn apart again. How will they ever come back together? Meanwhile, he has to fight a guy who's glowing green, you know? And it's like, all right, I know what I'm getting into the next episode.
Yeah.
And you know that they can never be together because it's Lois that has to ultimately...
Exactly. But same initials, right? So
yeah, you'll never guess who else watches that show. But no, I have also watched that show. So,
and dude, have you ever noticed that these shows tend to go on for like 8 seasons or more? Like they're yeah. so they're yeah, so
people
long.
Love them.
Yeah. But you never hear about them. After like the first 3 seasons, you don't hear about them anymore. They just have this following that is in secret because nobody wants to say that they watch Vampire Diaries.
And then 2 years later, they're on season 19.
Yeah.
And you're like, how did you even do that?
Yeah.
But then the shows that are really good are the ones, at least that I feel, and I know that a lot of you feel the same way, that are really compelling shows. Like get canceled and moved to another network and then canceled again. And you're like, what? Why does nobody want to watch these shows? Like, this is sure, this is not the exact same as like a mindless drama that like vampire shows or whatever, but mm-hmm. it has like there's a lot of like the humor elements that are still a part of the show.
Well, shows that are well done are expensive to make. And so networks are expecting more out of the viewership, I think. And if they don't get that, they're like, this isn't worth it. Whereas shows that are crappy are inexpensive to make and they don't need a ton of viewership to keep them going.
Yeah. Yep.
You don't need a whole lot of character development when Olivia Pope just flips between two men.
No. Yeah. And when she cries every episode.
Yeah. Is this the 5 minutes where she cries? I don't know. It's interesting that Shonda Rhimes has made such an empire over these kinds of shows. Like, she has tapped into what people want and given it to us.
She's aced those tropes. Like, they're done well, you know?
Yeah. Or at least well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well enough for me to keep coming back.
Yeah.
So, that was Guilty Pleasures.
If Housebound Podcast is your guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
We support you.
Please don't let us know. We can't take that kind of hit to our pride.
To our pride. Our egos can't be shattered like that.
If the Housebound Podcast is your guilty pleasure, you can catch us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where we'll post about stuff that's happening with the podcast, or sometimes some little snippets of episodes. And if you want to catch our full-length episodes, they're available on all major podcast platforms, and you can send us an audio message if you'd like on anchor.fm. And drop us a line. We'd love to hear about what TV shows or movies are your guilty pleasures, or what other podcasts that you're listening to. So let us know. See you later.